Welcome to Hour 2 of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. I do want to talk to you guys about a particular kind of indoctrination, but not the woke indoctrination that you think that your kids are getting in schools. And this indoctrination has impacted all of us. And so last Friday, we played a couple of songs that were covert drug references. We played White Horse, but I can't think of the name of the group. And I was singing that song as a little kid. If you wanna ride that song. We all were singing that song. I was young when that song came out. That song is about heroin. And I'm running around as a kid singing about heroin, unbeknownst to me. Like, that's the kind of indoctrination. I got some statistics on drug use and drug abuse in this country that is so overwhelming that it seems like it's intentional. Like, they've indoctrinated a lot of people in this country to just use substances for a variety of different reasons, whether it be to cope, whether it be for recreation, whether it be to try and improve your mental health or whatever. But we are such an addicted nation, and it's overwhelming. And I got to figure out, where did all of this come from? I have a list of songs that are drug references that I guarantee you didn't know. And these are songs that we are singing. And so these songs, I think, are working on us subconsciously. There's a couple of songs on this list where I literally was Friday years old when I found out that some of my favorite songs of all time that I've listened to for 20 and 30 years, sometimes even longer than that. And I was singing and rapping about doing dope and doing drugs. Songs that you guys sing, songs that your kids sing, all about drugs subconsciously. Maybe they're trying to addict us. Is that what they're trying to do? I almost had a bit of an argument with Savannah this morning because she was questioning the flatness of the earth. Don't question it. It's agreed on by 100% of the scientists in the world. It's also agreed upon by every pilot that has ever flown. Has to assume if they go from one destination to another that the earth has a curve to it. Because if you're flying on something that is straight, isn't your trajectory different than if you're flying around something that's round? All right. You know how I tell everybody to vote? And I use an example because I don't want to say if you get it, you get it. If you don't get it, you don't get it. But voting is so important because it's not even about you getting everything that you need and that you want and fixing society overnight. Voting is important because forces that are opposed to our progress try to make it harder for us to vote. Black people had to fight for 100 years to get the federally protected right to vote. That means it's extremely important. And so when we surrender that right, we are giving a victory to the people that never wanted us to have any progress. Now, we went on a deep dive last week about voting and about suffrage because they believe that if we vote and start electing people that are in our best interest, that we will use that political power and turn it sinister and do to other people what other groups in power have done to us. I also put a lot of focus and emphasis on the vote and on suffrage because a lot of what has been codified in public policy can also be undone by public policy. There was a period of time where African Americans did not qualify for Social Security. And then imagine that, no Social Security, no Medicare, no Medicaid. And then we get a policy called the Affordable Care Act, which affords every single person the ability to get health insurance. So where there was a void and where we were suffering disproportionately, and this is just one example, there now is an Affordable Care Act, which some of y'all still don't take advantage of, but we'll have that conversation another day. So I look at policy and creating bills and laws and ordinances as a way of righting the wrongs. And I think some of y'all agree with that too, because reparations in whatever form that it comes is going to have to be a piece of legislation. It's going to have to be a policy, but we're going to have to vote people into office that see the world the way that we do as it pertains to reparations, because Republicans will never vote for reparations. There's a bill in the Alabama legislature, House Resolution, I think it's number 327, where I just can't even believe this stuff is still happening. So here's what the bill basically says. You get a day off in June, okay? Either for Juneteenth Day, June 19th, a paid holiday, a paid Alabama state holiday, June 19th, which it should be, because it's now a federal holiday. Or you don't get both of these days. Now, it's one or the other. So if I lived in Alabama, which I don't, which I would not, I would opt for having June 19th as a paid holiday if I worked in the state of Alabama. Well, there are some people that are so egregiously offended by Juneteenth Day that they're given another option of a day that they get off in the month of June. You got to pick one, though. You can't get both days off. You know what the other day is? The commemoration of Jefferson Davis's birthday, who was the president of the Confederacy. And there are people that say, no, 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 I'll work on Juneteenth Day, but I want off because I want to commemorate the president of the Confederacy. And this is literally the Confederacy. This is literally a bill that is going through the Alabama legislature right now. And so imagine those Republicans that are giving people the choice to celebrate the ending of chattel American slavery. Let's be clear. That's a victory for everybody. Because America was just stuck in the dark ages as long as we had people in bondage and used human beings and human bodies for economic gain and for profit. That didn't just affect black people. In fact, the institution of slavery impacted white people just as much and in some cases more than it impacted black people. If I could purchase a human being to perform all of the necessary labors on a plantation, then I'm not going to hire a white person and pay them a wage. White people were kept out of the wage economy. They couldn't get jobs because slave owners would rather buy a person and train the person to do all the labors than pay a free white person and give them a wage. Like, people need to understand that. If we need to teach something about slavery, it needs to be that. There is poverty in the rural South amongst whites that is there to this day because it started in the days of when whites could not get hired because African Americans were performing all the labor. And here's what's crazy. When slavery ended, black men in particular were tradesmen. We were skilled labor. You think that slaves weren't blacksmiths? We were. You think that they weren't carpenters? You think that they weren't engineers? You think that they weren't building roads and bridges and erecting barns and building houses? If you purchase a human being, they're going to perform all of the labors. You got to keep this in mind. Once the crops are in the ground, you think the slaves just sat around till harvest time? No, they did not. They performed many different labors. And so what did we do post 1865, after the Civil War? We came north and took some of our, as black men, skilled labor and wanted to work in some of the factories and manufacturing plants that was known in the Union. And to prevent, this is what's crazy about America, to prevent skilled labor black men, because slavery, we were forced to learn these trades. That's why I get kind of creeped out when y'all always talking about black men getting back into the trades. I'd like to think that we can like be astronauts and stuff now. Well, not if y'all think the earth is flat, we can't. They created this thing called the Closed Shop Union. The Closed Shop Union has its roots in preventing skilled African-American former slaves from getting jobs in white factories in the North because we had more skill than they did. Some slave boys had been blacksmiths and putting shoes on horses since they were 11 years old. Imagine the skill set he has at 25 or 30. Fearing competition from a highly skilled black tradesmen, they made unions close shop. You had to be a member of the union in order to work at any of these factories. And oh, by the way, no blacks allowed in the union. Let's talk to Tony. You're on 101.7 The Truth. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
I'm doing okay, Tony.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Right. I called in because I'm a little angry and pissed off this morning.
Uh-oh.
About the driving that's going on in the city. I'm 52. I've been able to move around this city since I was a young boy. I was taught well on how to get around. I've lost my sight. And now I feel like a prisoner in the house because I can't get around because my mate is scared that I'm going to die while she's at work. It ain't fair to what they're doing to us. You got to think about somebody else. You're making prisoners out of us in our houses. You are mentally harming the elderly, the disabled community. It's feeling what y'all doing out here. I've always been free. It ain't the white man who ain't making me feel free. What are we doing out here? I've always been able to get around. This is affecting me mentally. I can't do what I used to. I've accepted being blind, but I can't accept not being able to get around the damn city. It hurts. I lived on the south side. The people I was walking around would stop their cars and walk me back on the sidewalk. On the north side, I was going down the street with my friend in a wheelchair. Somebody came up the one way trying to see if they could get us. What the hell? What the hell? When is enough enough? I'm tired. I don't even know what else to say, man. I'm tired. I just want people to know y'all doing more than y'all think y'all is, and it's affecting us. I'm tired. Thank you.
Damn.
Savannah. Don't do... Savannah. Why would you... I don't know. What do I say to that? He was hurt. He can't get around the city. That's... I ain't got nothing. Everybody, I hope you heard that. Tony is upset. He feels like a prisoner. Don't drive reckless. Tony, I'm sorry. See there? Look what y'all are doing. He's 52 and he lost his sight. And he's okay with being blind. He just... He was with his friend. And he said somebody tried to get him down a one-way street. See what I'm talking about? We got work to do. Samantha, stop it. Quit it. This is a very... This is why I don't win awards. This! That was horrible. I'm like feel heartbroken for him. He said he just... He wandered in the street. Listen to me right now, because a lot of you are driving in your vehicles right now, okay? And if you're driving in your vehicle and you got the radio on a 101.7, please look out for Tony. I'm serious now. All right, Brian, what you want?
Wow, it's kind of hard for me to even say anything sarcastic after that.
You
but,
can't,
Tony,
don't. That was very serious.
I'm not. Yeah, I know. I feel what you're going through, Tony. I got hit by one of them crazy, reckless people. But I just wanted to ask you a question, Sharon. Have you ever heard of the comedian Matthew Boylan?
No.
White dude, Matthew Boylan.
He must not be very funny.
Oh, he was seriously funny. He used to work for NASA. He was the artist. He was the artist, main artist for NASA. So, if you,
what does this got to do with anything, man? He was an astronaut for NASA, and he was an artist.
No, not an astronaut.
Oh no, he was an artist. Okay. Well, he believed the Earth was probably round. I'm sure if he worked for NASA.
Well, that's one way to give a little disinformation to it. But I don't like knowing some of the things that I do know. I really don't. I wish the dream were true. But if you want to, look it up. Just, when you get a chance.
Look up what,
look into Matthew Boyd. Pardon me?
What am I looking up?
Just watch one of his comedy sketches on YouTube.
No. What is this comedy about? Is it about him working for NASA and being a comedian and thinking the Earth is flat? Maybe that was just comedy, Brian. Maybe he was being sarcastic.
No, there's also a documentary where he's giving his documentary view of what this place is. It's just something to think about. Just another avenue.
Brian, you need to stay off the internet altogether. Because the corners of the internet that you occupy, you need to stay away from, sir. All due respect.
No. The truth is out there. And like we always say, they don't lie to us. They show us everything in plain sight. It's just something to think about. That's all.
Negro, please.
Just check it out, man.
No.
Peace.
Okay. Goodbye.
All right.
What's wrong with y'all today? What's happening? I tell you what. To hell with it. Y'all just call in and just talk about whatever you want to. I mean, every now and again, I'm going to throw in some little articles, whatever, some stuff I want you to know. But it doesn't, whatever. Y'all, the reckless drivers are a problem for people that can and cannot see. I guess we'll have a flat earth debate if you guys want to do that, too. How about we talk about black men getting into the trades? Why don't we do a couple hours on that? Because what else? This is how we're starting the week. Had a good week last week. Got a lot done last week. This week, Lisa went to Full Sail University, we found out. Lisa, who is our favorite one-legged caller, was offered to manage Princess Paisley Park Estate. Just learning all sorts of nonsensical things today. Oh, my God. There's an NPS school board meeting tomorrow. I'm going to have a guy named Quentin Claibon, who's a senior research policy person that focuses on elementary and middle school education. He's a real smart guy. He's going to be here tomorrow. Y'all, we're going to have a guest in here tomorrow. So y'all need to be on your best behavior. Don't be acting a fool bringing up flat earth stuff no more. And Lisa, seriously, you, Linda, Bob, all y'all, I got a smart person coming in here tomorrow that's real smart. And I know he went to Harvard. Don't act a fool. We got company coming, okay? All right. Take a break. Come back. We're going to talk to Norman about God knows what. I don't know what he's going to talk about. Savannah, do you know what he wants to talk about? Not that it matters. Okay. That's what call screening is in black radio. Oh, who's that on line one? I don't know. What do they want to talk about? Not sure. All right. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back.
More of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Talk to Norman. Thank you for holding on 1017 The Truth. How are you, Norman?
All right, brother. It's Norm. But anyway.
Hi, Norm.
I'm calling because the mayor changed up the election board with the president electric board. He got a new member.
Yeah,
and I'm trying to find out. You think that's going to affect up something in November? Or what do you think about that?
Oh, I hope not. Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson to replace elections chief Claire Woodall. Apparently, the Common Council didn't have enough confidence in her to reconfirm her. I don't know the inside baseball, but I'm hoping that. So that lady, Claire, I thought she was fine, but apparently not. Claire Woodall is, well, the former election commissioner for the city of Milwaukee. She is out, and then her deputy is in. Hopefully, the deputy that will now be the election commissioner in the city of Milwaukee is skilled enough, because a lot of times if you're a commissioner of a city department, it's about managing people. A lot of the people that are underneath that report to, that are subjects of the commissioners, are the ones that really do all of the work. So I'm not going to try to start any panic. I do know that our elections here in Milwaukee and in Wisconsin, the upper Midwest and battleground states, are going to be closely watched, analyzed, and scrutinized. And I'm going to trust the mayor on this, that they're making a good choice in promoting the deputy election commissioner to be the actual commissioner. I think we'll be fine. I hope so. Let's talk to the town. You're on 1017 The Truth. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
I'll be wondering, like number one, like what you got against the trades? Like it's a lot of people out here, like black people, that, you know what I'm saying, college may not be the route for that person. You know what I'm saying? And if they can't get up on that roof.
The trades is still college, brother. They're still college. I just don't want black men. Anybody can do whatever they want to do. That's the thing. I just don't want us to be in this mode of we're always telling black men what they're supposed to do. I would rather start with what they want to do, what they're interested in, what they have a fascination in, and what they have a love for. And would rather them pursue that instead of the world once again telling black men what to do, where to go, how to wear their pants, what we supposed to do for a living. That's all. But here's the thing. Somebody that wants to be a carpenter that's interested in woodworking, they're going to find their way into that job. In fact, we would know as a kid, some kids are very industrious and they make things and play with Legos. We know that those kids are going to be, you know, industrious. There's some people that are fascinated by HVAC. Some kids are fascinated by welding. For the people that already have an interest in those things, then yes, absolutely, they should do it. But if someone has a totally different skill set and we're telling them, don't do what you love and what you're fascinated in. No, don't do that as a career. Here, pick up a torch and be a welder, or here, pick up these pipes and be a plumber.
See, that's one side of it, though. But you're not seeing the other side. The other side is do something. You may not like it, because it used to be like, okay, you may not like it, but then you have another skill in your pocket. So when you want to do what you want to do, you have something that's biding your time until you do that. Does that make sense to you?
No, and it makes a lot of sense. But here's the thing. If somebody doesn't want to be a plumber because that is of no fascination to them. Now, obviously, having the skill set of a plumber is very, very handy, but they're still going to have to pay to get a certificate or a degree in something that they don't want to do. But here's the other part. We also make it seem like it's easy. The trades are incredibly difficult, and the reading and math skills that somebody knows to get into any of the trades a lot of times is more advanced than the reading and math skills they're getting with an MPS diploma. So we're making these men feel like failures. When they got to take these tests that test their knowledge to see how much math and reading they know before they can get an apprenticeship. And if they fail at that, then here we are directing them to get into the trades, and we come to find out they don't have the reading and math skills to do any of the trades that we're telling them to do.
Okay. I mean, okay, that's conjecture. They might or they might not, but then they can be learned that stuff too. You always hitting on the negative on stuff, bro.
I'm trying to explain why our community is where it is right now. And some of that, you're right, brother, it is negative. But we got to stop pretending like we can't handle what's negative. Black folks are more equipped to deal with what's negative than anybody else. But if somebody is reading at a sixth grade level and they graduate from high school, which is very, very possible, how long do you think it's going to take for them to not just get on grade level, but be skilled enough to be able to read a set of blueprints to build a building? It's not like an automatic thing like, oh, they graduate high school, they can go into the trades. No, you have to have some kind of academic skill set and background in reading and math to do. All of the trades are math. And if somebody doesn't have math skills, you can't be in the trades.
Yeah, if you assume. You're right. You're right. Assuming that we're all illiterate.
I never said that. Don't put words in my mouth. I'm saying that the skill set that some of us have is not sufficient enough to get into the trades right out of high school. They're going to have to get some additional schooling. Okay?
I'm going to give you that one. I'm going to give you that one. But at the same time, though, these kids can go up there, go on the computer, steal your car. They can hack your stuff. They can do all these wondrous things with technology. So you don't think they can subtract, multiply, add, and divide?
Not really a lot of algebraic formulas and a lot of square roots and stealing a car. But okay, fair enough. I'll humor you, because no matter what you say, me and you going to disagree. We're going to find a way to disagree. But all right, we'll agree on that. Thank you. Good God. If black folks spent more time being productive instead of arguing with me, we would be running the world. Lisa, why? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing it?
Because. Am I online?
No. You're not.
Okay, I'm gonna have to agree with you, but disagree on with you on some things, on a couple of things. I can understand what that young man was just saying. You don't need a trade or anything. One thing I could say about Mexicans when they did my house.
Tell me about the Mexicans that did your house. Why didn't you hire black people, Lisa?
I did. And you know what? What angered me about black people, I had a plumber come by, okay? The plumber wanted to charge me $8,000, just that's just whatever, and had the floor to be pulled up, so that was going to be more because he didn't know what was under the floor. I said, you know different than a white man. Okay. Now, I had a black man to do my house. Oh, my God, he failed. I'm in court with him now. I want my $10,500.
You can't blame every black plumber. You just got a bad contractor.
Even the contractor, I had a black contractor, and I'm in court. My court date is June 2nd and 3rd because I want $10,500 back. And the judge agrees. I got pictures and everything as I was going along and doing my house, and he did a crummy job. Don't play with me. But anyway, so he hired some Mexicans to do my drywall. You know, they came in. You know, I always want to build up. I said, when I get my real estate, I want to build up my whatever. So he did an awesome job, fast, quiet, did a neat job. So I got his information. Okay, so I had my black contractor. He never finished. So I fired him. So I remember Yair. So I called Yair. Yair came and did my whole house within a month and a half. Perfect. He did things he never did. He said, Lisa, I never did a jacuzzi whirlpool. I never did a bathroom like this. Then I had, he found a plumber for me, whatever I needed. He found his Mexican people to come in and charge me less than half of what white people were charging. My countertop,
Lisa,
my countertop.
They only so you're saying that, so we're over here telling all these black men to get into the trades, okay?
Well, anyway.
But you going to just hire some Mexicans.
What I was saying is, what I learned about the Mexicans is, this is what I love. They have their children come and learn the trade with them. So they're passing along to their children. He had a 13-year-old son that was going to learn a trade, that was going to learn what he did, and didn't have no certificate. They're learning as they grow. They're in the family business. You don't need a certificate for everything. If you know, you can learn things. You can get into a job that you don't like. And if you don't like it, work there for a year or two and find something that you do like while you're working at the job that you hate. And you quit that job and you move on. You know how many jobs I quit because I didn't like, but I always had a backup? You got to learn these things. Don't stress yourself on no job that you don't like and you got to wake up to and go to every day.
Okay.
Look at me now. I'm going back. I'm at home learning how to go back on Word and do Excel, do PowerPoint, and my speeding type, my speeding with accuracy. You know, I'm up to 43 words per minute. At 96% accuracy. So I'm at home.
I'm never going to hire you. I'm going to hire a Mexican typist. Because you're going to charge
you. Well, you know what? You can. I'm quite sure you can hire a Mexican typist. I'm quite sure I can call my contractor. He got everything for me. Like, I understand a man talking about going out. Look, unfortunately, I'm going to start having to carry my gun when I go out.
What? What is wrong with you people? Carry your gun for what, Lisa? So you can shoot yourself by accident?
Because, look, I have my family is very, I used to be a very mean, whatever. I done came a long, long, long way. Nonsense just didn't make any sense to me. Stupidity just didn't make sense to me. So I had a temper for that type of stuff.
Then this is why you don't need a gun, Lisa.
Well, you know, right. Well, no, I come a long way. I have learned to see these fools zip up and down the street, wiggle up and down, you know, go in and out lanes. I really would like to take them on the highway and show them what it's really about. Wiggle up and down them highways like you want to. Let me put you in a semi and teach me how to control that semi. Wiggle up and down there. Let me show you truck that's on fire and they're dead. Flipped over. They're dead. Let me show you body parts that you drive by. You can see the body on fire. Let me show you those type of things on the highway. It's no joke. You know, y'all playing these streets like it's a game. You know, I can tear you up on the street with a car, no problem. I can outdo you, outrace you, do all that. But what's the point? I have a CDL. I am called a professional driver. They tell me Jesus and the myriad of angels came down to heaven, I need to be able to avoid them. That's how they feel about that. That's how professional they, you know, it is to them. But, you know, getting a trade and everything, there's ways you can work around it. It really is.
Thank you, Lisa.
Education is nice.
Yep.
It's cool.
It's good. It's
a certificate is just a certificate, a piece of paper. That paper don't mean nothing. Everybody would ask you for that paper. And nobody ever asked me for my degree.
So thanks, Lisa.
You have to... Sherman, you always cut me off and everybody else...
You're talking about a bunch of nothing!
I'm not talking about a bunch of nonsense!
Who are you yelling at?
Look, my black men, young men, when I used to go out there and tell them, look, get your CDLs, go and make six figures like I do.
Lisa, I gotta go.
You know, go and do it for 2 years. Build up your money. And then go find and do what you want to do.
Lisa, please.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. We'll be right back.
More of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes is next on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Apologize to any Mexicans I've offended. It's not my intention. We're telling black men to go into the trades. And then Lisa says the Mexicans are better. Oh, why do I do this? I don't understand why. I also want to, do you have the, I think his name was Tony. We need to listen to Tony again and be moved and impacted by what this man is going through. When he called, you guys were very disrespectful. Okay? It's an epidemic going on in this city. When I talk like this, it means I'm extremely serious. Okay? Roll the tape. We need to listen to it.
I called in because I'm a little angry and pissed off this morning.
Uh-oh.
About the driving that's going on in the city. I'm 52. I've been able to move around this city since I was a young boy. I was taught well on how to get around. I've lost my sight, and now I feel like a prisoner in the house because I can't get around because my mate is scared that I'm going to die while she's at work. It ain't fair to what they're doing to us. You got to think about somebody else. You're making prisoners out of us in our houses. You are mentally harming the elders, the disabled community. It's feeling what y'all doing out here. I've always been free. It ain't the white man who ain't making me feel free. What are we doing out here? I've always been able to get around. This is affecting me mentally. I can't do what I used to. I've accepted being blind, but I can't accept not being able to get around the damn city. It hurts. I lived on the south side. The people I was walking around would stop their cars and walk me back on the sidewalk. On the north side, I was going down the street with my friend in a wheelchair. Somebody came up the one way trying to see if they could get us. What the hell? What the hell? When is enough enough? I'm tired. I don't even know what else to say, man. I'm tired. I just want people to know y'all doing more than y'all think y'all is, and it's affecting us. I'm tired. Thank you.
Damn. Pop.
What is... Told you need to be serious. Reckless driving is an epidemic in this city. Because we don't think about people like Tony. I'm so mad at everybody in the producer studio right now. I'm very upset with you. Did you hear the pain in that man's voice? This is what people are dealing with. This is ridiculous. Leo said, he needs prayer. Pray for Tony. Pray for the whole city. The city is going to hell in a handbasket. And then I got an article here. You blacks don't even want to vote. From the Washington Post, black Americans' desire to vote in this year's election is down sharply compared with 4 years ago, according to a Washington Post Ipsos poll conducted last month. A potentially troublesome sign for President Biden, whose ascent was powered by black voters in 2020 and who has intensified efforts to court them before November's election. I don't care about your desire to vote. sometimes you just have to do stuff. What more can I possibly say to scare and to threaten you about what happens in a second Trump presidential term? There's nothing else I can say. Listen, I get it. Enthusiasm is down. You're not excited about voting for Joe Biden. But if you just look around the landscape right now, there's really nothing going on that's exciting. It's all this treachery and trouble going on and the reckless driving and the kids can't read and do the math. It's a whole bunch of stuff. Crime is upticking. It was a very violent weekend. And the desire to vote is low. It's a whole bunch of stuff that I do anyway, even though my desire is low. The poll of more than 1,300 black adults finds that 62% of black Americans say they're absolutely certain to vote, down from 74% in June of 2020. So that's the election. If 12% of African Americans that voted in 2020 don't vote or vote for a third party. I went and watched the Kentucky Derby. Well, I tried to. The place I went to, the TV went out and didn't come back on until the race was over. So I missed the race. I guess it was a good race. But as I'm driving to the Iron Horse Hotel, because every year they do a thing for the Kentucky Derby, and I had a real nice hat. I bought a hat. I got a hat. Actually, no, that's not the hat that I bought. Keon gave me the hat. I wore my hat. I had a nice hat. And I wore it to the Kentucky Derby party. I saw a bumper sticker that said Kennedy for president. Kennedy 2024. Robert Kennedy. The junkie whose family members aren't even endorsing him. If y'all mess this up in November, I will be highly upset. The 12% point drop outpaces the 4-point drop among all Americans overall from 72 to 68%. What do we need as black people? Like what? If somebody said, here, blacks, here, here's something. What is that something? Like, what do we need to be more engaged, to be more empowered? Because we sure enough got a lot to complain about, don't we? But our desire to vote in the most consequential election that is facing us. Savannah, here, let me ask you. Are you going to vote in November?
Of course.
Okay. I guess that satisfies that. If you weren't going to vote, would you be honest and tell us?
I would.
Okay.
I ain't got no reason to lie.
Are you going to vote for Trump?
Are you going to vote for Trump?
Don't answer my question with a question.
Oh, okay.
Can't do that.
No, if you not, I'm not.
Wait. What I do ain't got nothing to do with you. Are you not a Joe Biden fan? If you don't like him, you don't like him.
I don't like nobody.
But you'll vote for someone that you don't like because it's the right thing to do to keep our democracy intact.
Well, yes.
He didn't sound very convincing.
Whatever you like.
Okay. I would like to take a break because we're just falling apart here at the seams. Tony, we're going to pray for you. We played your phone call again so that people that may have missed it could hear it and just hear the pain in his voice. And hopefully that resonates with people. Him and his friend. Was he in a wheelchair or was his friend in a wheelchair? Somebody was in a wheelchair, and they wandered into the street. Tony couldn't see where he was going. He's got to worry about reckless drivers. You all should be ashamed of yourselves. I'm very disappointed in a lot of you, okay? I want you to get yourself together. I'm going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to continue this non-award-winning radio show, all right? It's called The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. And I'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. It's The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
to read some of these comments on YouTube, and then I'm going to read the text messages. If you're not following us on YouTube, you should go to YouTube.com or open up your YouTube app and search 1017 The Truth. Hit subscribe, and then you can view our videos live. Or if you missed a show, you can go back on YouTube and rewatch or review. Or show your mama and them and your cousins and them. Oh, no. Are you serious, Savannah? Oh, I'm scared. Oh, my God. Tony, I want you to know that we are we're very serious.
You gotta be scared. I got a sister human. I have a sister human.
We're not laughing at you, Tony. Nobody's laughing.
Yeah, you laugh.
No, I'm not.
I laugh with you.
This isn't funny, though.
I listen to your show because you're funny. No, it's not funny. Not at all. I'm a person who been around other. After I lost my sight, I
how did you lose your sight,
people.
Tony? I'm curious. If you don't
mind. I have glaucoma. It runs in the family.
Oh, I'm
sorry. Glaucoma, and my right eye is removed.
I'm assuming you no longer drive.
As I told you, I no longer get out by myself.
Do you have a wife, Tony?
Pretty much, yeah. We've been together long enough. It's my wife.
Okay. Does she help you out, help you get around, and help you do the things you need to do?
Yeah, she makes sure I'm good and taken care of before she leaves. And when she come home, she makes sure that my mentor is good. I get out. I got a very good support system.
Good. That's good to hear. We're very concerned about you and anybody else who's affected by the epidemic of reckless driving.
It's a lot of people that it does affect. Like I said, I donated my time to Vision Forward for 5 years after I lost my sight to help people. And you couldn't imagine how terrified people are after they lose their sight to put that cane in their hand in general. And to just have this going on, you taking confidence that they could have had, they never gonna have now. They're just too damn scared.
Tony, I bet you're a very courageous man.
It's real serious.
I don't want you to feel scared. I still want you to go out and explore the world. And I know that reckless driving is a problem, but you ain't gonna let that stop you, Tony. I want you to get out there and just get out there in the world. Don't let them keep you in the house. That's how they win.
I won't by myself. I can't do it by myself because I promised my woman I wouldn't do it, and I'm going to hold to my promise. It's only a couple hours. Well, she at work that I got to be in the house. I can do an 8-hour shift in the house by myself, but the whole point is they don't realize the freedom that they're stealing from people. It affects more than the people you just hit. It affects everybody. People say it all the time, but it really does affect people in ways you could not imagine, and that's why I'm calling to let you know. It is other ways that it's affecting people.
And we hear you. But I got a question, Tony. If you were to leave the house, let's say we solve the reckless driving issue, and I believe if we put our heads together, we can solve it. Where would you go? Would you just like walk to the store, walk to get some exercise?
No, I used to jump on the bus and go visit my family. I used to go visit my friends. I go down to the blind center. I got around. I still love the city. It definitely changed to the point where you can't realize what it was, but I still know where everything was. The bus drivers are nice and friendly, let you know where you're going. Unfortunately, if you got to be blind, there's all kind of great devices out there to help you. So it's a lot to get around with. It's just being safe trying to get around. I can't see if a car coming. I can't see if somebody doing what they're doing, not paying attention, not caring. That's why I have to have somebody with me. That's why I said it's stealing freedom. I'm a person who always got around by myself. I enjoy just a nice walk, going to the store and back. People get to know you when you keep going to the same store. They'll look out for you. You can't do that no more. That's what I'm saying. People need to think about what they're not thinking about. It really does affect more than the people just getting hit. And, of course, my sympathy goes out to anybody who's getting hurt. This is unreal. This don't even seem like the city we grew up in.
Tony, do you have any vision at all in your left eye? Any?
I'm down to just shapes and certain colors.
Oh, my. But you still know, like, where the bus stop is? You still remember in your mind where certain things are. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Well, what can we do to help you, Tony?
To help me?
Yeah, is there anything
like
that we can
everybody
do?
Else, just keep doing what you're doing, letting everybody know every day that this is real. This is killing and harming people. This is mentally damaging. Just don't let up on it. Once you let up, people forget about it. Never let up.
We won't let up, Tony. Thank you for calling us back.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Savannah, seriously, that's very, he heard him. I'm glad he got a sense of humor, because when I saw his name on a call list, I was like, ooh, we in trouble.
I thought you was going to get us, Tony. I really did, but I appreciate it. Thank you for the great sense of humor. You rocking with us. Thank you so much.
He's a better person than all of us. I was there with Tony. I was feeling his pain. I can't imagine if I'm stuck in the house and he said she ain't his wife. He promised that lady, his woman, that he ain't going to go nowhere. Sounds like a very good, decent man. You know what? I would trade a bunch of y'all for one Tony. That's right. I wonder if we could hire him here at The Truth. I bet you there's something he can do here. We're an anti-discriminatory agency. I mean, we don't really hire white people, but that's besides the point. It's The Truth. It's black people of all different abilities. He just sounds like a wonderful man, and we need to listen to him because he can give us a different perspective. He's afraid to leave the house. I wonder if he votes. Should have asked. I bet he votes. He's a voter. Because, you know, you can vote and not be able to see. They got machines where it's accessible. And you probably can get a ballot in Braille. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be back for hour 3.